This morning in the Old Testament, we're reading from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And then from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 55. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for people like Abram, who becomes Abraham, for Mary and Elizabeth, for those who heard your word, and despite what may have seemed foolishness to many, they followed. They followed where you led, and we thank you for the ways that you blessed them. Please bless us this morning as we have heard your word and as we contemplate what it means for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So one of the most joyous things I got to do this Christmas was help deliver letters on behalf of Santa. So due to the postal strike, letters couldn't go in the mail like normal, and so we partnered with Jeff Leeper's office, who's our local counselor, to receive and to make sure responses for kids got to their mailboxes. And we received around 150 letters that got delivered over this past weekend. And you know, it was fun. Everybody who participated just had so much fun doing it. And it was lovely to see the hall full of people who had never been to St. Stephen's before getting to help Santa deliver the mail. And I got a chance to take some pictures of some of the artwork. So some of the kids, in addition to writing letters, drew pictures for Santa. And Santa shared some nice ones with me. And what you'll notice is there's different media. There's different levels of skill. If you would say there's different ages, right? So you've got people who drew pictures of Santa, you've got people who colored pictures. There were some that were stickers, some that were designed on the computer. We had a little bit of everything. And when we saw those pictures, the thing we said was, "Isn't this fun? Isn't this wonderful?" What we didn't say was, well, why did this kid bother doing this at all? They clearly aren't an artist, right? And I would hope nobody would respond that way if they see a picture from a child, whatever their age, created in this form or any other form, really. Unless they're drawing in a drawing class where they're asking for feedback, we look at artwork, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, our friends, kids, wherever it might come from, we look at it and say, isn't that beautiful? Even if they have to tell us what the picture is about. We can take that down now, thank you. But at some point in our lives, that understanding of art changes. And some of us, at least, start to get the impression that if we're not good at it, we shouldn't do it. I remember shortly after, when I met Ian, my husband, he was taking an art class in high school. And he'd done that for a number of years. That was his art of choice. And he was doing a drawing class. Now, I am not a drawer. And the art that he made, to me, was absolutely beautiful. But he had two struggles. One was he could see how all the other kids in his class were better than him. And the second was he could picture in his mind what he wanted the art to look like. And the final product never matched what he saw in his head. And so that was the last art class that he took. I did get his permission to share this story, by the way. And I think that's sad. He does not, so that we're clear. He is quite happy not drawing anymore. So I find this fascinating because I have this internal, unrelenting need to create, even though I don't really consider myself particularly artistic, right? So before this, for those who don't know, I was an engineer. I was really big on math and logic and doing those things, and yet, in various ways and in various times, I have wanted to create art. And I've tried a little bit of everything. I sing in the choir, even though I sing with many people who are much more talented than I am, and I love it. I play my flute, even though I will never be in an orchestra, because I get to use my gift and share it, and I appreciate people receiving it with grace. I learned to knit at one point, and I've made some projects there. I have done cross-stitch. I occasionally write words for songs. I've painted. I've tried a little bit of everything. But one thing I don't tend to do is start from scratch, right? I don't tend to take a blank paper and then just create. And there are people where that is their form. But I really like, you know, taking a pattern, right? Cross stitch is beautiful for that, right? They tell you where to put the stitches and you create this beautiful thing. Or if I write a verse to a song, it's not a brand new song. I'm adding a verse to a song that I love. I will play things on my flute, but I have never composed music in my life. And I'm learning that that's okay. And what's actually kind of fun is that when we look at artwork in the Bible, we actually see that same pattern. And we see it with Mary, right? So Mary, we don't really know what she liked to do to create, but we do know that her song that we heard, often called the Magnificat, because it's the first Latin word in the Latin version of the Bible that you read in her story or in her song, it's an adaptation of a song that was written many, many years before her, generations before, by a mother named Hannah, who had her own miraculous baby, who never thought she was going to have a baby. And when her son Samuel was dedicated to the temple, she sang a song. And if you read Hannah's song and Mary's song side by side, you can see a lot of similarities. So Mary didn't start from scratch. And that's okay. And the reason why we're talking about Mary's song in this way is because all through Advent, we've been talking about different ways to share the good news. What does it mean to share the good news of Jesus? And we talked about talking to our neighbors and friends and telling them what we know, what we understand about God, and why we come to church. We talked about doing what was right and being open to change and to understand as we learn and grow. But Mary does something different. And I think in part it's because Mary's story is more complicated in a lot of ways, and certainly in ways of feeling, than some of the other people that we find in this story. We don't know a lot about Mary, but we know that she must have been young. Her name, we call her Mary, but it would have been Miriam, probably. That's how we see it written, even in the Greek, but we translate it to Mary. And of course, Miriam brings back memories of a sister of a man named Moses, who was an artist. She was a singer and a dancer. She played the tambourine. And she was a leader in her own right of the early Israelites when they left Egypt. We know that Mary was obedient. We know that she was faithful. And we know that she was thoughtful. Because when all this chaos was going around on around her, her choice was to ponder, to consider, to wonder about what was happening all around her. And she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, I imagine Elizabeth, once she gets over her fear that this pregnancy, this miraculous pregnancy of her own, is really going to happen, Elizabeth's feelings were probably pretty joyful. This is a long-waited-for baby. She's got the support of her community. Everybody loves that she's pregnant because she was this wonderful matriarch without having a child who now got to have her own baby. So she could tell her neighbors. But Mary's feelings must have been complicated. She wasn't supposed to be pregnant. She wasn't married yet. She hadn't had sex. So how does she then end up with this baby? People were looking at her askance, wondering what she had done, what had happened. And yet she had this promise growing within her, this promise of God come to earth. Even imagine the responsibility of knowing you were carrying the literal Son of God. And so her song has joy in it, but it has all sorts of other things, wonder and imagining for the future. And even though Mary, in her position, maybe couldn't share her blessing with her neighbors, maybe she couldn't stand up for what was right because she didn't have the power to do so, she could sing. She could sing and she could share what was going on through this song. Art has been used for centuries to talk about things that were dangerous, to talk about things that couldn't be said openly. Art has been used to educate for people who couldn't read. It's been used for all sorts of different ways of learning. And I was trying to think over this week about examples of ways that I have found art to be helpful in my own learning or in my own sharing. And what I was struck by as I started to make the list was that all of my examples came from places of actually sorrow and pain as opposed to necessarily joy. That's not to say art can't be created in joy. But what I have found is sometimes when we don't have the words, because things are hard, because we're worried, because life just isn't doing what it's supposed to, art can often be a balm that soothes the soul. For my whole life, music has done that. Music has been the thing I could put on when I was overwhelmed, I was sad, even when I was angry. And I could put on certain songs, and it would just change my mood. It would change how I was feeling. Other people find that same thing with art. So this Thursday, we had our longest night service for people who are having a harder time. And we used this piece of art that was painted specifically in response to a poem that I shared that was trying to capture. The piece is called Love is the Sky, and it was trying to capture both the turbulence and the beauty of grief as we experience it. And so people who were here were invited to meditate on this picture as they listened to the poem. Because sometimes looking at a piece of art can be easier than looking at each other or being left fully alone with our thoughts. Thank you, Rob. And no one says that your art has to be your own. I have a friend who every day in Advent shares a picture of a different nativity scene, kind of like I did with the kids this morning, from all over the world, of all different pictures, as a way to say, look at all these different ways to talk about the wonder of Jesus. And so this is my encouragement to you and to all of us this morning. We may not always feel comfortable saying, this is my church, you should come, or this is my faith, I want you to know more about it. We may not always be in a position of power where we can say, this is the right thing to do and it's time to do it. When we are, we should. But when we're not, we have other options. We can say to our friend, hey, have you heard this new Christmas song? I love it so much. And you might play, you know, a new version of Silent Night, if that's your favorite, or one of the contemporary songs we've been learning. Or something else, and say, do you notice this? I love how this song focuses on love. I love how this song lifts out hope, because sometimes I don't feel hopeful, and I appreciate that. Or maybe it's about having a nativity set as part of your decorations for Christmas. Or maybe it's looking in your friends' houses and seeing their nativity and saying, oh, isn't that beautiful? What's the story behind that? And maybe they have it because it was passed down to them, and maybe they don't know the story, or maybe they do, and you can talk about it. And of course, if you find hope or peace or love or joy in making art, then make it, even if it's not perfect, even if you wouldn't sell it to somebody, because it brings those things, and then feel comfortable, you can share it with someone you love, because I guarantee you, your grandchildren, your children, your parents, your friends, they will be touched that you made art for them. Not whether it can be sold for $1 million at an auction, or whether it would be shown on the walls of the gallery, but the heart that you put into it. And I'll tell you, through God's grace, your faith will shine through. What a wonderful gift we're given. Let us pray. Gracious God, art is a wonder. The fact that you created a world where we get to create too, it's amazing. Thank you, God. Help us to use our creativity, whatever it looks like, to share your story, especially in times when we don't have the words to share our faith in any other way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.